For my message today, I'm going to be talking about a subject, the fear of the Lord, or holy fear. I want to take a look at two passages, Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 7 and 8, and also Romans chapter 12, verses number 1 and 2. So if you will get for me, Leviticus chapter 20, starting at verse number 7. And the Bible says, "Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you." In Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Starting at verse number 1, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Let us pray at this time. Our gracious God, we thank you, we bless you, we lift you up, dear Lord, and we pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, dear God, that we may be edified and you may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Now, I just wanted to talk briefly about a concept called the fear of the Lord, or holy fear. I want to take a look at three particular characters in the Bible that exhibited this particular trait. First, I want to take a look at Job. In Job chapter 1, it says, "There was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil." Also, well, I want to take a look at Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, made the sea and the dry land." Also, I want to take a look at Acts chapter 10, and a character by the name of Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Now, I wanted to look at and kind of do a comparison of those three characters in terms of bringing everything together in terms of how the Bible defines the fear of the Lord. Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And it literally could be called the foundation. It's the foundation to which we build everything upon. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, the very foundation of everything that we do. So if we fear the Lord, then we have a desire to know him and to understand him, and to be willing to commit our lives to him. That starts with the fear of the Lord. See, it talks about men who don't fear the Lord, and they have no desire to live for him or even know him. But when you fear the Lord, your desire is to know him and please him. Now, to fear the Lord is to hear his word, to take heed to his word. He told them in Leviticus, he says, "Consecrate yourselves and be holy." If we are to fear the Lord, we are to separate ourselves from everything that would hinder us hearing his word. So in this, we can establish a fear of the Lord. To fear the Lord is to understand who he is as it relates to us. To fear the Lord is to know that he is creator and of heaven and earth. To fear the Lord is to know that He is God, and beside Him there is no other. To fear God is to understand that He made us and formed us and fashioned us in His image for His purpose. If we fear Him, we understand these things, and we respond accordingly. To fear the Lord is to separate ourselves. To fear the Lord is to renew our minds with the Word of God. To fear the Lord is to plan our lives in accordance with His will and His Word. The fear of the Lord will create a distinction in us. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9, "But you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of Him who calls you out of darkness into His marvelous light." See, the fear of the Lord will create a distinction in us. See, we will stand out before others. See, we don't even have to try. All we have to do is have the fear of the Lord in our hearts, and people will take notice. And it's real easy to do. Just the Bible says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. To be known of God and to know God, to go after Him in prayer, to go after Him in worship, to go after Him in the fellowship, to go after Him in study is to fear Him and to understand that He's the only way. He's the only truth that we seek. He's the only knowledge that we seek. He is our all in all. He is God. He is our Creator. He sustains us and He keeps us. The fear of the Lord will keep us from the fear of man. The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare, but those who trust in the Lord will be safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it, and they are saved. So we don't have to fear man. We don't have to concern ourselves with the way people view us or what people are saying about us. The fear of the Lord will even give us the strength to stand in the face of persecution and opposition when we fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord will lead us to repentance. Romans chapter 2. Starting at verse number 5. But in accordance with your hardness of heart, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, present for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those by patient and continuous and doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. So the fear of the Lord understands that outside of repentance, there's just judgment. To fear the Lord is to fear judgment. To fear the Lord is to fear judgment, rather the judgment of God rather than the judgment of man. Jesus said, don't just fear those who can kill the body, but not harm the soul, but fear the one that can destroy both body and soul in hell. That's the one to whom you should fear. So fear God. Solomon tells us, fear God and keep His commandments. And this is the whole duty of man. This is who we are. It's the foundation of everything that we do and that we say. To fear the Lord is to choose our words wisely. Jesus said, for every idle word a man shall speak, he shall give an account on the day of judgment. To fear the Lord is to keep our thoughts pure before God. The Bible tells us and instructs us to take every thought captive and make it obedience to Christ. Because we fear Him. Because on the day of judgment, everything will be given taken into account. Solomon tells us, he says, everything will be taken into account, the good and the evil. So to fear God is to shun evil. To fear God is to stay away from sin. To fear God is to cling and hold fast to His Word and understand that He can take you places where you've never been. It's the foundation of our obedience to God. It keeps us in the love of God. Psalm 103. Verse number 17, it says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children." So the fear of God will keep us in the love of God. In Jude, verse number 20. It said, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." So the fear of the Lord. Now, we're going to take a look at these three characters. And I want to take a look at Jonah. Was the one that really stood out towards me. We all know the story of Jonah and how he fled from the presence of the Lord when the Lord wanted to send him to Nineveh to preach. He went the opposite direction. And of course, we know what happened from there. But starting at verse number 9, in chapter 1. So he said to them, and this is, after the ship had gone and was about to capsize, and the storm was there and it was heavy and they were panicking and everybody was freaking out. And so he said, they were trying to figure out who brought all of this trouble on him. And Jonah, so they asked Jonah who he was and where he came from. So he said to them, "I am a Hebrew." And I like this translation that says, "And I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Now, we know from the conversation later on in the chapter that he revealed to him that he was running from the Lord. So that appears to me to be a little bit of a contradiction. He says, "I fear the Lord, but yet you were running away from him and you were rebelling against him." That kind of got me thinking, like, okay, so if you fear the Lord, but you notice. Now, in the other two passages, it was said that they were feared. Now, this is what Jonah said himself. Now, Jonah allowed those words to come out of his mouth. He said, I fear the Lord, the God of the Hebrews. And even in a sense, even in the case that he had been running away from God, that didn't take away from his fear of the Lord. You want to know how I came to that conclusion? Because anyone who trusts God would tell someone to throw them over a boat. They have to trust God, right? So he had to be able to trust God in order for him to allow them to do that. So he had to fear the Lord. And see, understand, when we have the fear of the Lord, it's not something that just goes away when we fall. It's something that keeps us when we fall. It's something that swallows us up in the belly of the whale until we are able to come to the conclusion that He is God and that we are going to obey Him. The fear of the Lord is something that keeps you in the fight when you struggle and you falter and you fall short. The fear of the Lord will keep your soul. The fear of the Lord will keep you in the presence of God, though you are in a state of rebellion or sin. The fear of the Lord will keep you. Now, I'm not saying this, you know, and I'm not justifying staying in those situations, but at some point, the fear of the Lord will drive you out, and you will do the will of God. Because remember, God is sovereign over all things. God is sovereign over all situations. And God is able to work all things together for the good of those that love God and are called according to His purpose. If we have been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light, we can't go back to the darkness. The Bible says those with the Spirit in Him, they cannot continue in sin. Because the fear of the Lord will drive their hearts and their minds to turn back to Him. So that's the foundation of who we are. The fear of the Lord. The Bible says fools hate instruction and knowledge. But if we fear the Lord and we're in rebellion, at some point we're going to get to a place where we're willing to listen and we're willing to obey God. And God will clean us up and dust us off and send us out. That's what He did for Jonah. We take a look at Job. There was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. Another condition is one who shuns evil. The Proverbs tells us, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The fear of the Lord understands that His thoughts are not our thoughts, or neither His ways our ways. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are His thoughts higher than ours, and His ways higher than ours. The fear of the Lord understands that we are to depart from evil. The Bible says those that name the Lord, that the Lord knows those that are His. And those that name the name of Christ must depart from iniquity. The Bible goes so far as to tell us to abstain from all appearance of evil. So the fear of the Lord gives us a different perspective, not only about God, but about our world, the world around us. It helps us discern between the difference between good and evil, between righteous and unrighteous. It helps us to understand in what direction to go. The Bible says whether you go to the right or to the left, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No man is saved outside of Christ. And to my point, we're going to look at one more character. In Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10. Starting at verse number 1, it says, There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. And those are two more qualifications. We understand the fear of the Lord understands the importance of giving, of not just our means, but giving ourselves. He gave alms generously to the people, and he prays always. The fear of God understands that as one who fears God, we pray without ceasing. All men everywhere ought to pray and not faint. Prayer is a lifestyle of one who fears the Lord. He is constant in prayer. And he's constant in giving of himself. Jesus said, the Bible says, the greatest among you will be the servant of all. Paul said, I become all things to all men that some might be saved. See, the giving of ourselves tells us or tells others that we fear the Lord. We take a look at Cornelius. And the interesting thing about Cornelius' story is that even though he feared the Lord, he had not yet been converted. He wasn't converted until he heard the word of God. Until he was able to hear the words of Christ, that the word that gave him the gospel, which is the power of salvation, as he accepted it. But the fear of the Lord, even though he wasn't saved, he was able to have a vision. And not only that, but at the same time, we're dealing with two people who fear the Lord. Remember Cornelius, they said Cornelius feared the Lord, but at the same time, Peter was praying at the same time. We know Peter feared the Lord. He was a disciple. He was a follower of Christ. And they were praying at the same time. And in that moment, God was bringing them together. Why? But because of their common bond. And what was that? Fear. Cornelius was a Gentile. Peter was a Jew. But the fear of God, what did it do? It brought them together. In order for Cornelius to receive the gospel. So the fear of the Lord will bring us together. The fear of the Lord brings us all here. We're here because we fear the Lord. We're here because we understand that sitting under His word will help us to be strong and encouraged and fight the fight of good fight of faith. So we fear the Lord. So we shun everything that would keep us away, because there are a lot of things. This weather is not the best weather. We can come up with all kinds of reasons not to be here. The roads are too slick. It's raining. It's cold. I don't have a raincoat. Whatever the case, Dallas and whoever's on, it doesn't matter. Listen, the fear of the Lord brings us into the presence of God. Jesus said, where two or three gather in my name, there I am in the midst. So the fear of the Lord, we have a desire to be in the presence of the Lord. So we understand that the fear of the Lord is indeed the foundation in order for us to be saved, in order to have our sins forgiven, our iniquities cleansed, in order to be made right with God. It starts with the fear. It's the beginning of wisdom. And we know that it is wise to heed the gospel message once you have heard it. It's the greatest message of all time. It's a message of the love of God that came down, that left the glories of heaven to come down to save a wretched people, a people who did not deserve it and cannot earn it. But He came out of His love and His desire to be with us for eternity. That's a great thing. Anyone here that has not named the name of Christ, I believe you know and understand what you have to do. You have to fear God. Fear God enough to recognize that this is your time and you don't have a lot of time. Tomorrow is not promised. The next moment is not promised. But if we fear God, we will respond to Him and He will keep us through eternity. If it is your desire to come forth and take on Christ in baptism and receive God and receive the forgiveness of your sins, and also if you have a desire to come and receive prayer, or if there is any need at this time, you may come forth as we stand and sing the song of invitation.